We're starting right now. I mean, for all of the we're starting right now. This last few weeks before the high holiday season, we've already had 3 days of yeshiva, and then we had 3 days of tiul, and we had a fantastic time. Most of us had nothing more than any minor scratches or bruises. I myself personally, as Alex can tell, you know where Alex is out there. I fell on Har Bental, which people usually fall on. It's like an overlook. We're talking together. Remember, I fell down and I bruised myself. Besides, hopefully most of us, you know, we came out pretty much unscathed. But the hard part is now. We're starting right now a stretch of time, and we're not so used to yet learning intensively and seriously, at least many of us are not. And these next few weeks are going to be crucial to the development of our course for the rest of the year. I want to give you the following imagery. Imagine that you are in bed, sleeping, which is probably not so hard for many of you to imagine. And all of a sudden you hear a horn outside, someone's honking. And you wipe the slumber off of your eyes. What time is it? You look at your clock, it's 7 in the morning. And you hear your mom calling your name. Chaim! They're waiting for you. Hurry, hurry, let's go! And you're like, what? Where am I supposed to go? Do I have a sport practice? Am I going on a trip for a few friends? Like, where am I going right now? And you have no time, your mom's out the door, and they're honking and honking. And you try to figure out, what do you grab with you? Take your bag, grab your tefillin, and obviously, maybe it's overnight, who knows? Basketball sneakers, or my ice skates, maybe it's hockey. I don't even know what I'm doing right now. And I'm grabbing, throw into a bag, and I'm hoping I grab the needs that I have for the coming day or two. If that's how long it's going to be, even. And then you find out that you slip your mind, but you're going to your cousin's wedding. You have your ice skates, and you have your jersey, your home and away jersey, just in case. And you showed up for the completely wrong event. If you're not properly prepared for whatever you're about to encounter, and you don't bring everything you need with you, you can expect to have a lot of fumbles along the way. We all are here right now in yeshiva for the year. What are we doing here? Many of us may have come because everyone else goes. The percentage of guys in my class went, so I also went. My brothers went. I want to get, whatever reason what it was, each one of us are here for a different reason, perhaps. We all decided to come to Eretz Yisrael, and particularly to Torah Tragam. But the question we have to ask, and really answer for ourselves, is what is our intention while we're here? What goals do we have in mind for ourselves? Because if we just grab a packing list and threw things into a bag and hope that it would just all work out in the end, it might work out. Maybe you'll borrow someone else's suit. But it's not going to fit right. It's not going to be what you're supposed to have with you to help and encourage you to succeed and excel in this year. If you do not plan in advance for your success, there is minimal chance that you'll actually be successful. Just as an example, this is something that went viral, as it should have, a number of years ago. And to this day, every time I watch it, I giggle once again. If anyone ever watched Allen Iverson's practice rant, have you ever seen it? I know many of you have. Okay, thank you, Jonathan. We'll go through it later on. If you want to hear the version of it, you can go to Jonathan Box. He's happy to share it with you. You know, if you listen to it, he actually said the word practice. They had a counter. The one video I saw, they had a counter on the side. How many times he uttered the word practice? But the best line was the last one of all. The last line he says before they cut the script, before they cut the video, he says to the cameras with a straight face, man, it's supposed to make my teammates better by practicing. What's supposed to make my teammates better by practicing with them? That was how we ended. Now, it's humorous because everybody knows that if you don't practice, then how are you supposed to actually get better? I mean, he had the opposite. What's supposed to make yourself better by practicing? Practicing, planning in advance. I'm a natural athlete, he would say to you. Just give me the ball and I'll do my thing. The truth is, he's right in some ways. But in many ways, he's wrong. Because we all know that if you would show up to a game without having seen the playbook in advance, or you just show up right after tip-off and you haven't yet warmed up, we all know that it takes a lot of time to get into the mindset and you're on the same page as everyone else on your team as to what you're supposed to be doing on this day and to be able to properly succeed in this event that you're going to right now. If anyone here has ever followed the Super Bowl, which I'm sure many of you have, there's a lot of rules that the players have in the Super Bowl. You have a curfew at nighttime. They're grown men. They're making $10 million a year, but they're told by their coach, you have to be lights out at 11. What are they? They're in second grade? They're in eighth grade. Second grade is a little young for 11, but eighth grade, ninth grade? They can't go out when they want to. The answer is no, you can't go out. You know why? Because you're part of something much bigger than you. You don't have the luxury to go and hang out and chill and party the day before the biggest game of your lives. You don't have that luxury. You're part of something much more important than a night. You have to call early. And the next day, you have to have a walkthrough. And the walkthrough is maybe tedious, but you have to be on the same exact page as each other if you would like to excel in the most important game of your life. You have to be properly planned for it to happen. Why am I telling this to you right now? I'm going to tell you over a little idea in the Torah. It's a little bit, too little strange at first glance, but I'll compare it to something else in the Torah, and you'll understand in a minute why I'm suggesting it. Beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, very beginning. It says, after Hashem goes out from Lech Lecha, he'll make him to a goy gadol, he'll make his name great. It says, Vayelech Avram, we'll skip that part, Vayikach Avram et Sarai Isho, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Hei. Avram takes his wife Sarah, or Sarai at the time, v'yes Lot ben Achiv, and his nephew Lot, v'yes Kol Rechusham Asher Rechashu, and all the property they had gained and amassed. V'yes Anevi Asher Asubu Charan, and all the converts and people they had inspired along the way. Listen to this line. V'yetu Lechaz Ar Tzakan, they went out to head towards Canaan, and V'yavo Ar Tzakan, and they got there. Chiddush? Big Chiddush? I went to go somewhere, and I ended up arriving there in the end. Is that a surprise? Most people, when they go somewhere, they put it in Waze, Google Maps, they leave, and then they arrive. That's Torah-worthy. Is that a Torah-worthy statement to tell us that they ended up going and then actually arriving there at the end? So the answer is it's very Torah-worthy. Because look back one page, one parsha earlier, the end of parsha is Noach. We have a very similar discussion. Listen to the words. Perakit Aleph, Pasuk Lamedav, Vayikach Terach. Terach is Avram's father. Vayikach Terach es Avram beno. V'yes Lo ben Haran ben beno. V'yes Sarai Kala. So the same players, the same actors. Vayitzu Itame or Kastim, Lalechet Artzakanan. Same destination, same journey. Look how it ends. Vayavo ad Haran, Vayesh Risham. They never got there. They never made it in the end. We're even told that Terach dies, and Rashi tells us he died there. He never made it in the end. Now, he died there not on the way, actually. He died there 60 years later. He didn't die in the journey where he stopped, and it was a tough journey. He dehydrated, it didn't happen that way. He just settled there, and he never made it in the end. The Torah is telling me that Avram made it while Terach didn't make it. Do you know there's even Avram and Terach? So Avram spent years upon years of planning, of working himself out, of meeting with God, of talking to God. And eventually, when the time came and he was ready for it, he set out to do a mission and he accomplished. Because he was well planned. You know what happened to Terach? A moment his life changed. He saw his son walk through a fiery furnace and not get killed. Whoa, that's pretty cool. Let's go to Canaan. He wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. He headed out. Kol kavod to him. But he stalled on the way. He stalled. What you see from this is a person goes into a situation and is not thought out. He's not mentally prepared himself to achieve success and excellence. There's a very, very good chance that he falls short of his goals. Very good chance. Now, that assumes a big assumption, that you actually have goals. Big assumption. Could be that you don't. Could be you say to yourself, you know what? See where life takes us. We're here. My friends are here. My older siblings and cousins came here. I'm going to just take it and see what happens in my life. It's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Because it means you have zero direction in the beginning. No direction. This is a good idea, that could be a good idea. You're going to live by trial and error, and at the end of the day, it might take you months to figure out which way you want to head. You need to realize from day one, or right now, day 10, whatever day we're up to right now, that there's a vision I have for where I want to end up. And why is it so important that I have a vision? What are we trying to figure out this year? Are we trying to figure anything out this year, or we just happen to be here? What is our goal? What is our mindset? So I got an email right before Shabbos that a good friend of mine, who was a rabbi in a shul in Florida, was giving a shiur in a neighboring community, in New York actually, in New York somewhere. And the title of his shiur struck me. Listen to this title that he gave, and I think it's exactly the lesson I want to share with you for the rest of the next few minutes we have together. I am a soul, I have a body. I am a soul, and I have a body. We are not this. As a proof, if you would cut off Nebuchadnezzar your arm, or your leg, or your ear, you would still be the same person inside. That's really who you are. When you age, and you may look different, the real you is the same building up as he was. He's not different than he was before you aged. He'd be more experienced, but he's not different before he aged. You are not your body. You are your soul. You happen to have a body. Your body is what we call your kli. It's what holds you inside for very, very important reasons on this world that we have it so significant for us. But that's not who you are. I told you a little bit over in the bus ride on the way, I forget which ride it was, or so many rides we had together. But one of the rides that we had, and some of my students said to me, don't give up, don't use this yet. It's too good to use. You want to save this for later in the year. But since I already started it, I'll just conclude with a story that I want to share with everyone else. A football player named Larry Donnell, who was a tight end for the Giants. I think it was last year, or maybe the year before last year. So he made the news. He made the news that, and it was a very funny article. He caught 3 touchdowns in a game. And it pointed out that the team, he has also a fantasy sports team, which of course he picked himself. And his team lost that week because he didn't start himself. 3 touchdowns in one game, that's a pretty good thing for anyone, but the tight end particularly. But he lost the fantasy game that he had himself on because he didn't start himself. So he said, from now on I'm starting myself. And he went back to normally, kind of pass for 8 yards maybe, probably lost a lot more games that season. I thought to myself the following thing. Pretend you were a guy who plays in the NFL, and you happen to have not yourself on the fantasy team. You have the other team's defense that you're playing against on your fantasy team. You're playing right now in the final week of the season where it's equivalent to the Super Bowl in fantasy. It's the championship of your fantasy league. You catch a pass, run down the sidelines, and you're aware that this game for your actual team didn't get into the playoffs, not get into the playoffs. But for your fantasy team, the championship's riding on this game right now. And if you score right now, you might get into the playoffs, but your fantasy team will certainly lose its game because you hurt the defense that's on your team. Would it dawn on anyone for a second to fumble the ball at the 5-yard line and celebrate a little early on purpose, drop it, they pick it up, less points, fumble recovery? Would it even dawn on anyone? Of course not. Because there's a real game, and then there's a fantasy game. And naturally, I would never compromise my real game for my fantasy game. And if I would, it just shows me how crazy, way too invested I would be with my fantasy game. Are we so much different? Do we live a world where we have our real selves and our fantasy selves? I am a soul. I have a body. I have a body. It's very important for me to use my body properly. Do I take my soul and make that my primary? Do I decide I'm going to spend my time investing in my soul? When I'm thinking, what do I do with my spare time? Is my priority on my body or on my soul? I think most people in this room will probably say their priority is on their body. They'll be happy to fumble their soul a few times, so the body enjoys it. You would be the laughingstock of the NFL if you were that guy. And yet how many people, not only in this room, but in the world, will take their real self and happily fumble multiple times? The problem is that as I explained to you, we have an NFL, and it's clearly the place to go. And the fantasy is only a fantasy. But many of us don't connect to the soul. We don't connect to it. For us, it's like a foreign world that I heard about. I even maybe believe in it. But I do not relate to it at all. And therefore, we're kind of stuck. Because I may be giving you a nice muscle, but it doesn't match up so well in your eyes. And you know what? It makes a lot of sense. But that means that your goal then this year would be to say to yourself, you know what, if this is true, I want to connect to it. I want to find my soul. I want to be deeply, more connected, more deeply connected to my neshama, to God. If this is true, and the mashal is as I described it, then I need to find a way right now to work on discovering that relationship with my soul. That's already a goal. That's a game plan. That's a goal that I have set for myself. That is your goal, I think, for the year. You want to decide at the end how you live your life. Right now, you've lived the last 17 years, some of you 22 years apparently, in a certain way. And you would like now to figure out, all right, that was a good joke, it was sweet, it was good, but you talk to me. If you don't get it, you can ask most people later on and they'll be able to share with you what it means. The goal at the end of the year is that you should have a choice that you're making. That you understand what 17 years of your life and how you lived and how you thought and your perspective on the world. And that your goal is when this year is over, I have a second side that I'm choosing between that I experienced for 1 year of my life. At least. For 1 year I experienced and I soaked up completely the other version of myself. The real me. The soul that I am. I gave it complete time. For 9 months in the end. It's all to be 9 months. So when the time is over, I can take my 17 years of life, my 9 months of more soul development, and decide, you know what? Which one do I want to be? It is not fair to make that choice if you spend the next X amount of months still continuing the body development, still willingly fumbling your soul left and right. It's not a fair test that you give yourself. It's not fair. I'm open-minded with you deciding when the year's over what you want to do with your life. How religiously advanced you want to get in the end. But only if you give your year the chance that it deserves. I was speaking to a student over the Tiyul, and he said to me the following. He's a Shabbat student. He said to me, we were kind of lagging behind on the last part of our Tiyul on Thursday, in the water part. And he asked me, he said, how do I know... Am I achieving goals this year? I don't feel myself accomplishing goals this year. What am I doing? Am I succeeding? Am I not succeeding? And I'll give you muscle for that as well. Some people, if you have a 3-year-old boy, his successes are very easy to see. You know, when he starts to go to the bathroom by himself, maybe when he's a few months old, when he starts to roll over, there's very clear signs in his physical development that you can see. Oh, he did, check that development point. He hit that point. But when you get older in life, it's hard to pinpoint exactly when you've achieved and arrived at the next accomplishment. From your 16 years old to 17 years old, can you pinpoint a moment when you hit the next developmental level? Probably not. A person who comes here as an infant spiritually, which some of you might be, so it's much, much easier for you to mark off your developments. Check Shabbos excitement. Check minyan attendance. But once you start to do these things, or you're doing them already coming in, then your developments and your checks on your scorecard are much harder to figure out where they belong. But nevertheless, every single one of you and us, the day that we die, are trying to continue to climb a ladder of spirituality and connection. And therefore, it's upon us to figure out what is my next rung in the ladder. What am I trying to do? Some of you may be very obvious what it is. Some of you may have a hard time figuring out, but either way, you must have a game plan and a goal in mind, and everything that you do should be heading in that direction. Everything you do. You want to go out to town and enjoy yourself, call a kibbutz. Go ahead. There's places you can go. But there are places that you can't go. And if you go there, it's a fumble. And it's not a fumble, stop. It's like the Ernest Biner fumble, if you know what that means. It's like you're driving to win the game and you drop it at the goal line, and it takes a long time to get over that. Your job this year is to understand what you're really trying to do. My brother-in-law, Rabbi Dov Stark, he one time said over the vort, which I think is a beautiful vort, and I'll share with you as I wrap up. In the parsha we just read this past Shabbos, it says in Perichav Beis, in Pasuk Ches, Ki sivneb bayis chadash v'asisa maka l'gagecha. When you build a new home and you make for yourself a fence, a gate, for your roof. You do not want anyone to fall, you don't want your blood to be spilled because of you. Someone, God forbid, fall off. That's a rough translation. Rashi over here has a fascinating shot. I'll read to you inside and I'll stop in the middle before I get to the punchline. Kisivneh ba'is chadash. When you will build a new home, im kiyam de mitzvah shiloh came. The last thing we mentioned was the idea of sending the motherbird away. If you fulfill the mitzvah of sending the motherbird away, sovchal is not ba'is chadash. At the end, you're going to be able to build a new house. Pause. Sounds like a good deal, right? You get to build a home. I'm able to acquire a new home because I performed a mitzvah. It's a good deal. I'm very excited to do that. But Rashi goes on one more line. A few more words. He says, "Vitzkayim mitzvahs makeh." And because you have a new house, what are you going to do? You get to build a fence. The house is just a means that lets you build fences. So you can do a mitzvah. If someone gave you a choice, you could either have a house or build a fence upon a house. You'd imagine that the house is a much more of a tempting offer. But Rashi is telling you that this world, though we live in a physical way, and you're supposed to be living in a physical way, and you embrace that physicality for the right reasons only. You know what's better than a house? Building a fence around that house is even better than the house. Because one of them is a temporary, finite thing, and one is an infinite, eternal thing. And once again, if you are a soul and you have a body, shouldn't you make your soul priority? Rashi says, of course you should. The home is great, you should live in it and be well and be very happy in it. But you get the chance to build a fence around it. That's what we're here to do. To be able to find ways to imbue our lives with Kedusha. I'll tell you an embarrassing story about myself. I've been here, this is my 14th year in Israel. 14th year actually in Torah Trag as well. I think it was the first year I was here, it was 14 years ago, during the time of Elul, that I was new, I just got back from Florida, from being in America for 3 years. And I went to shul, I went to a shibulach in my community. And we all know during the time of Elul, there's a shofar blown at the end of davening. It's a nice idea. It's a nice idea. You blow the shofar. Says the Rambam, "Uri Yishei Mishinaskim." We want to wake ourselves up from our spiritual slumbers that we're in. If you don't have a shofar, you know what you do? You just go on, and you don't have to blow it in the end. It's a whole discussion. If I miss it in Shabbos, I blow it in time. But it's really not ikra. It's not the most important thing. It's nice. But as you know, every single shul has a shofar. But not every single shul has someone who knows how to blow a shofar. So I happened to dabble in shofar blowing. I never blew for the Amud. I'm not like Rabbi Yudin, who's a professional already. I've blown shofar a few times on like a shachris, like during Elul. And as I'm in shul, waiting for, as shul's ending up, and they're at Uval Tzion, and I see the guy walking around with a shofar in his hands, and he goes, the guy, people waiting for me, the guy's like, And he goes, 3 or 4 people. I notice he's getting very close to me. I'm new, make my marker over here. I'll show for the Z watch. So I decide to myself, he's gonna get to me. Okay, I'll do it. Gets the guy right before me. He walks over to me, chauffeur in hand, pointing it at me. New? Okay. Puts it down right on the table where my towel is over. Well, see you in a little bit. I realize that the air conditioning must have turned off. It is so hot in here. What's going on? And I look, the air conditioning is blowing. My palms are like schwitzing. I'm like, what? What happened? And then, Alenu finishes in Kaddish. Hayom Yom. Enkel Okaden, like icing the shooter. And finally, it gets to the time when it's the Kaddish shofar. And I am panic-stricken. What if I mess up the blow? If I don't, I'm going to do it. My hand is like true. I'm like doing truas for. I get up there and I take the shofar. And I'm like, and like dead. I'm like, oh my gosh. And like everyone's looking at me. I volunteered to do it. I must know what I'm doing. You know, like, you know, take my thing out and dry my mouth and... I'm panicking right now. Panicking. And finally, I... Schneider, come on. Like, man up. Let's do this. I finally get, like, enough of a sharper blast out that everyone after is like, oh, Shkoyach, good job, good job. And I'm like, I can't believe, like, what a failure. And that year, I noticed, during Yom Kippur, during the Ela, I was davening for my family and for my own life and everything. I noticed that I was like, my hands were dry. I was calm and relaxed. I didn't have a fear in the world. No nerves. And I was so angry at myself. What are you worried about? In shul on a Tuesday, during the month of Elul, that you might not blow it well? And then what? You know, I just did that last week. They gave it to me and I tried four times, it didn't work. I'm like, yeah, give it to your next guy. I couldn't care less. No, because I've been embarrassed. Embarrassed that people would see me not blowing the shofar well. But on the Elo with the Aron Kodesh open, so what? What am I supposed to happen? I'm not going to daven well? It's a big deal. No one knows that. Really? Are you a body or are you a soul? Is embarrassment more important than your spiritual well-being of you and of your family? I couldn't have been more wrong. Every one of you is a kli. You're a vessel. And however you make your vessels is how much you can be able to contain. And you can have a lot. You can learn all hours of the night. You can have a lot. But what you do in your spare time is you might drill a hole in your vessel. And it becomes not kosher anymore. Because as much water as you put in there, it just drips out inside. You have a single goal this year. A single goal. And it's a very easy one to say. Your goal is to figure out where you belong with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Your goal is, when I give you an example of Larry Donnell, you're not like, come on, Rabbi, how can you compare that fantasy football and real football with Kedusha, spirituality, and physicality? Come on, Rabbi, like, that's so much more obvious than what you're describing. You're here for X amount of time in your life. I don't mean Tartrag, I mean in life. And your single goal in everything is just to get closer to God. That's all your goal is. You are a soul. You happen to have a body. You need it to function in this world. You prioritize your soul while you're here. And a major part of that is your Torah learning. And you plan properly. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're told, added three things at Matan Torah. Three things he added. One thing he added was he added an extra day of prep. Planning, preparation. I must make sure that I'm in the right place and the right frame of mind to receive the Torah. Well, right now, we're about to receive the Torah. We're about to go through a journey together that's going to last us months upon months. So we end off our year almost at Shavuos, at our Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us there's a need for you to plan and prepare in advance. But there's two other needs that you had to do at the same time. He separated from his wife. He did a Sur Meirah. He had to make himself, he was focused. He couldn't be full of Tumah. Sur Meirah means that when you're involved and engaged in this process, you must make sure you don't do things on the side that will drag you back down. Because as much as you may think you're going to connect on the base medrash, at the base medrash you'll chill in certain ways, you're just poking a hole in your kli. And the water is gushing in, you're learning so much. And then it just, whoosh, Thursday night, it just walks right out the kli. You come back and you may be clean, but you're not holding anything anymore. And you'll wonder to yourself, this is not working for me. It's just, I don't connect. I don't connect to learning. I don't connect to davening. No, you do connect. You just ruined it for yourself. And the last thing he did was he took a set of luchos and he smashed them on the ground. You know why? Because he saw that these two things just can't work together. He took a proactive step to make sure that we wouldn't mess it up. The Torah, the luchos he brought down, could not exist where it was. He took a proactive step to fix that. Sur Meirah, Ase Tov, planning and preparation. If you follow those simple, simple steps, you're going to leave this man, Bein Hazmanim, the next man, the end of the year, with a feeling that you never felt in your lives, perhaps. That every moment of your life, you're happy to be here for. You wouldn't want to stop waste time. I don't want to sleep through things. I want to function in a way when I'm able to be connecting and growing. And every day, I'm so excited to do it. Every day. It requires a lot on your part. But I want you to know that your Rebbeim and your Madrichim and your peers and the Gris Kol are here to assist you in this process. If something's on your mind, you have a question that's bothering you religiously, reach out to any one of us. Any of us. Could be your Rebbe, could be not your Rebbe. Reach out. Pull him aside. Tell him you struggle. Could be religiously motivated. I don't believe. I don't know if I believe anything. It's fine. That's fine. Just tell someone about it. Have a goal. Have a rung on your ladder you're trying to accomplish. When you hit that rung, on to the next one. If you take this attitude, we do this together as a yeshiva, this is going to be the greatest year of your life. And it's going to be a year that we look at each other and we look around at this room and we appreciate every one of you for your own talents. I look forward, the Rebbeim of the yeshiva look forward to being part of that journey with you. And I wish you the rest of this month, the next 2+ weeks to Rosh Hashanah time, Hatzlacha, the ability in the koach to be able to fight challenges that come your way, and the appreciation after you've accomplished to understand just how far you came.